Thank you for downloading this episode of the Nerdball Podcast. As always, I appreciate every one of you that listens and watches this or watches this on the YouTube page. It means the world to me. Please continue to download, share, like, subscribe, hit that share button or the subscribe button on YouTube, any of that stuff to help the podcast. You guys are great. It makes me want to keep doing these. I have several guests lined up. Now that I'm doing only one a week, you know, I can line these guests up a little bit more in advance. And I know I said I would do more social media stuff, but I have not. So that is on me. I don't know if anybody's claiming for it. No one's ever said anything. So maybe that's part of it too. I don't have a push besides myself. And apparently I don't push myself hard enough. So maybe I'll start doing it. We'll see. I can't promise anything. I am coaching girls basketball, so that takes a little bit of time. But that's just another excuse that I'm using to not do social media. So maybe with this episode, you will be seeing some social media. Or maybe that's how you got here. Because you saw TikTok and you're like, you know what? That sounds cool. I'll listen to that. So we'll see what happens. But as always, thanks to all of you. This episode, I had Justin Feldkamp on. It was great. From BCSN. Talked all about BCSN. It was really cool and explained kind of a hot topic that was out last week, the BCSN top 20 athletes, because BCSN is celebrating their 20th anniversary. So they put out a top 20 list that was on fire on social media as far as people saying, cool, good job, but more people saying, hey, you missed this person or missed that person or whatever. He explained it great. It was wonderful. I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. Let me know what you think. As always, thanks and keep listening.
I'm Justin Feldkamp, and this is the Nerdball Podcast.
This is the Nerdball Podcast with Lorenzo Melcher.
Perfect, Justin. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And that is the most professional opening I've ever had for this podcast. So thank you for that. I didn't expect anything less from you.
No problemo.
So we see each other pretty much at least a couple times a year, just on the football field, say hello, this and that. Mm-hmm. I'm a coach at Perrysburg, and you're out doing your thing with the high school during the high school football season. And again, you know, I asked you during the football season if you can come on, and you know, were gracious enough to say yes. So thank you again. And the first thing I always ask people is, what is something you nerd out about? A hobby, something you've been into, either like a recent thing or something you've been doing for a while. I ask it mostly because I think it's important to have a good work-life balance. So something that kind of gets you away from work, something that you can do either, like I said, by yourself or with family.
Yeah. Good question. I think go a multitude of directions there, kind of like a hobby, kind of nerding out, kind of a little bit two different things. I'm a big skier. I like to ski, water ski and or snow ski. It's a little more difficult with four kids at home under the age of 12 and job and responsibilities. It's not like you can just hop on a jet or hop on my helicopter and get to a mountain real quickly. But when I am able to ski, I thoroughly enjoy it. I just like the experience and, the athleticism associated with it, but also the leisure portion of it.
Is that something you've been doing since you were little?
Since I was in college. So. I didn't ski when I was little, just growing up in Cincinnati, not too many mountains around. And then just family didn't necessarily ski, your parents didn't ski on a regular basis, but in college at Ohio University, we weren't too far from West Virginia. We went to snowshoe with some friends, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. So I've been skiing in West Virginia, Virginia, Colorado, and Michigan so far.
So do you which do you like better, water or snow skiing?
I'll say snow ski. I guess when it comes to boating and water skiing, I kind of just like the boating experience, whether that's tubing or just boating and chilling out, docking somewhere, just to kind of, it's the relaxation of it all, really.
Yeah, my in-laws have a boat and I rarely go on it. I get seasick pretty easy. And then whenever I go, they got to alter their plans. So it's just in the Rossford Marina. They just putz around the mommy. They usually go up river and then float down, but I don't like the float part of it because that's when I can feel everything. Yeah. So I always feel bad that they got to alter their plans when I go on the boat. So I don't really go on the boat that often. Also, I'm not a strong swimmer. I can keep myself alive, but
yeah,
it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary.
That's a key element to boating, Lorenzo, knowing how to swim.
Yeah. Yeah. So I made sure to know, especially when my kids were young, they are 12 and 9 now, but when they were babies, I made sure I knew exactly where all the life vests were just in case.
Yeah. Oh no, that's no joke. Yeah. That is one of those things as a parent, no ifs, ands, or buts, you know, that you can take risks in life, but that's not one.
Yeah. And my daughter, and I don't know, I'm assuming it was my wife's thing. But I was happy with it. When she was little, she was probably only like 2 or 3 and she wore her life vest the entire time. And I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know much about water safety, but she did. And it looked the most comfortable thing. She would always nap in it because it would just went around here. Yeah. And then it had something for her head. And
it was like a built-in neck brace.
Yeah. It was like a perfect pillow. And she, every time she would just crash. And I was like, man, it looks very comfy.
Absolutely.
So you water ski, snow ski, again, all that, is someone I'm into, you know, playing sports and doing that kind of stuff, but
yeah,
it seems now I'm almost 40 and I'm afraid to try any of that stuff because I don't want to like injure myself pretty badly. When you do it now you don't have a lot of time now, but when you do get time, I'm assuming your kids and stuff are involved now too.
So we just this past, holiday break or Christmas and New Year's time frame, in between Christmas and New Year's, we went up to Camberfay Peaks, about a 3.5 hour drive from Sylvania area, Toledo area, up into Michigan. And that was the first time that our 12, 10, 7, and 5-year-old had ever skied. And they took to it and loved it. And that was the whole goal, just kind of expose them to it and hopefully cross your fingers they like it and it's not too frustrating or they fall too much or they get disappointed and down. But they thankfully loved it and want to go back again.
Yeah, there's nothing better when your kids get involved in something that you like really like to do, because then it just makes it that much better.
100%, whether that's, you know, sports related, obviously with your connection to sports and your memorabilia behind you, me and my profession and career. Anything that I like that they like. But I also said, you know, I remember when we had our firstborn, one of my wife's friends asked the question, you know, knowing me and knowing that I like sports, what are you going to do if your kids don't like sports? Mm-hmm. And my answer was, they're going to enrich my life one way or another. Yeah. So yeah, would it be great if they like some of the things that I like? Yeah. But maybe they'll do stuff that I had no inkling to do or didn't get exposed to, but now I do through them.
Yeah. And 100%, because people ask me that about my son, who's going to be, he's in sixth grade now. And they ask like, well, what if he doesn't want to play football? Well, then he doesn't play football. Okay. I'm sure as long as he's doing something, like then, you know, I'll be involved, whatever he's doing. My daughter's a perfect example of that too. I've coached a lot of things, you know, all kinds of sports from the time I was 17 to now. And my daughter twirls baton. And that is the one thing I cannot grasp and understand.
Literally.
Yes. I cannot. Like my only contribution is when she's struggling with a trick, throw it higher, and I think that'll help you. You know, but it's cool because it's just new world, and we go to these competitions that we spend 15 hours in a gym to see her perform for a total of 8 minutes. You know, and like it's just these new things. Like our first one's coming up in March. We're going to the Arnold in Columbus. So that'll be, I think, her fourth time there, but it's a cool thing to experience, you know, now always experience new things.
Yeah. What I like too, Lorenzo, when I am out and about doing sports related stuff with my kids and they are doing something new, you get exposed to a whole new group of parents and community members and neighbors. And, you know, we got baseball parents, we got football parents, we got those different groups, basketball parents, where, you know, you get to meet somebody new and you get to talk to that person during the duration of a basketball game in a gym, and you make connections and you build your network, whether it's career related or as someone you need to borrow a tool from or a new kid for your family to hang out with. all that type of stuff. Just you kind of look at it from that perspective, and it's a good thing all the way around.
That's my favorite part about this, is just meeting new people, or sometimes talking to people who I have a little bit of a relationship with, and then being able to sit down with them for an hour and learn all this new stuff. And it's the same thing. Like whenever I go somewhere, my wife always makes fun of me because I get into a conversation with a stranger because of something they said, or a shirt they're wearing, or whatever, you know, because yeah. It interests me, and just learning as much stuff as I can, because it's fun, and you never know what people do or talk about.
Yeah, it's definitely a good attribute, kind of doing this on the side, or someone's career is similar to mine in the sense of doing question and answer interview segments or shows. You got to have that in your brain to your makeup and your ideology and the way you work. You got to have that in you to be curious and be inquisitive and listen, and then have the follow-up questions at the ready. Just because it's not something that you are necessarily 100% interested in, but you could learn about it. That's one way that I kind of look at things when I'm doing interviews, is I could learn something new if it's not sports related, or a camera's not rolling, or a microphone's not in someone's face, but you're just out somewhere and you're learning something new about that person or that person's career or job or what they do on a day-to-day basis or anything like that. Is always interesting to me.
Can I tell you, as someone who has a lot of experiences yourself interviewing high school kids, that is the toughest interviews for me, is high school kids. And I made a rule, and all the football players know, and I coach a girls basketball at Perrysburg too, volunteer for them. And I made a rule, if you're coming on the podcast, which a lot of them want to come on, you got to come with somebody. There's got to be two of you because it's hard. And I try to tell them, like, this is just as much for you as it is for me. Like, it's a good skill to have, to be able to have a conversation with somebody. And so I learned, like, having someone there makes them more comfortable, so they do open up and say stuff and want to be more like, as opposed to, here's this question that took me 10 seconds to ask, and now you give me a yes or no. Like, I need something.
Yep. So many people, you know, in some cases it extends beyond just a high schooler, where like, what questions are you going to ask me? Can you let me know what some of the questions are? And I say, no, just relax. It's just going to be you and me. I kind of give them a little quick prep tutorial, because my line of thinking is I want that person to look good. Like physically, I'm making sure the framing looks good, the lighting looks good. I want them to be well represented, because they are representing their school in many cases. So I want them to look good. I want them to sound good. I try to put them at ease. I let them know, okay, keep your feet planted right there. Stay steady for me. And I say, it's just going to be a conversation like we're just having, and the camera's not here. I literally say the words, act like the camera's not here, act like the microphone's not here. It's just you and me having a conversation, you and me talking kind of thing. Now, obviously, don't get me wrong, there's some high schoolers who are terrific at it. There's some that are okay at it. Some are good. And then some I end up not using, because the sound that the answers that they provided were not great. And that was either, you know, short answers, or, you know, the line of thinking wasn't great, or just what are disjointed, fragmented sentences, and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But usually I can get, that's really rare where I would not use someone completely. I would just use a soundbite as opposed to multiple soundbites.
Yeah. And I do that here with people too. It's like, hey, this isn't live. And if I'm a couple weeks ahead, so if you're thinking about it afterward and you're like, I don't like that I said that, can you take it out? Yeah, I can edit anything. Like, I want you to be comfortable, and I want you to understand that, like, say whatever you want to say. And at the end of the day, if you don't like it, I'm not going to put it out. And I think there was an episode where I didn't put out because it just didn't work out for that person. I said, I don't have to, I can miss a week. It's fine. I want you to be comfortable, and maybe you can come back on again and we can do it. But it is, I think, the more you can make somebody comfortable, the more they're going to get out, or the more that you're going to get out of them, because, I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah. And they, you gotta have the confidence, just like in anything, whether you're doing an interview or anything else, you know, have the confidence to know that, hey, I can do this. I can respond to questions. I do this in a history class or a biology class, and you just kind of step up to the plate and kind of just relax and Just answer the questions. Don't make it anything more or anything less. Just listen to the question coming out of my mouth and give me your response.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever go into a situation like you're going to interview a coach or a athletic director or a student, and you knew, like, not that it was going to be a bad interview, but you knew there were specific things you wanted to ask, and it might not be like, I think confrontational is the wrong word, but like something a little more like than just like, hey, great job on the game this week. You know, tell us about it.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, it depends. I'd say I do like 2 to 3 types of interviews, if you will, because I know the purpose of it. So if I'm going out to a high school, basketball, football, baseball, high school sport to interview a coach and 1 or 2 players. So in general, that is for some quick sound bites that we'll use to preview the game in a newscast and a Sports Nightly episode. So I know that I'm not going to use, the sound bites are not going to be longer than 48 seconds.
Yeah.
So I don't need to ask a coach 17 questions. Mm-hmm. I need to get the crux of what a viewer might want to know about the matchup and duplicate that to the student athletes as well. The other type of interview I do is a sit down interview where it's either going to be a extended segment that is 3 to 5 to 7, 10 minutes long, or a full blown inside out episode that I do where it's a 30 minute show, question and answer, and commercial breaks and stuff is usually around 21, 22 minutes worth of actual Q&A back and forth interview. So in that case, I'm interviewing people for minimum 30 minutes, probably the longest I'd go just to avoid doing massive amounts of cut down edits would be like 40 minutes. And then I cut it down to the best 21, 22 minutes. So I come in prepared for one or the other, and then ask appropriate questions based on which one I'm doing.
I always think that the hardest questions to ask would be to a, whatever sport it is, to a losing coach, like right after the game.
Yeah.
You got to have, I think most, you built a good rapport with coaches around here. So it's not that, and they know like the deal, like, yeah, I do got to talk about the team we just lost to, but it's, I don't know. As someone who's like never done it, that's my fear. Like if I were to do something like that, I'm like, I got to do it once and then I think it'd be okay. But just to go through that.
Yeah. So truthfully, Lorenzo, not every coach will or wants to talk after a loss, whether it's by 1 point or 100 points. So, you know, we at BCSN, I have reached out, especially when it comes to playoffs and when we have a team playing a team that's outside of our area. So we care about the game broadcast, so our broadcasters know about the other team that's out of our Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan area. But we don't really need to interview that coach or a player after the game if that away team won. We want to interview the hometown team, win or lose. So I have been known to reach out to coaches on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or an athletic director, and say, hey, just planting the seed now, win or lose, we would appreciate if you do a post-game interview with our play-by-play or color analyst or sideline reporter after the game. And 95 out of 100 times, the answer is usually, yep, sounds good. People, whether I've built up rapport of them or BCSN as a network have built a rapport with them for 20 years, they oblige and understand and get it. The ones who I trust and respect are the ones who will gladly provide an interview for you, win or lose. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is difficult asking questions in general. Coaches are going to be more short with you because they don't want to provide any more reasons to people and media and fans as to why they lost the game. Where on the flip side, they'll talk your head off when they won the game, and I get it and understand it. But your demeanor as a media member definitely changes when the team loses, and you have a demeanor when the team wins. I always say it, you know, in media circles or regardless, if we root for our teams to win all the time because post-game interviews and celebrations are always, one, way easier to do, and then two, way better. I mean, everybody wants to see confetti going and trophies being raised up by the captains and all that type of stuff. So, you got to be prepared for both.
Yeah. You know, speaking of segments and things that people get excited or, you know, social media is crazy, right? You can post something and post a story and there's two views immediately. The one that's been getting the most right now is the one that you guys just put out of your, the 20 athletes.
Yeah.
of the past 20 years. And I knew immediately, I'm like, all right, well, everyone's going to have their athlete that wasn't on there.
Correct. All right. Yes. Oh gosh. You've hit the nail on the head, bro. Okay. So, well, one, thanks for the platform to kind of explain, because there's not like a clear cut way to reach everybody who may or may not comment on it. So anyway, here is how we did it. So 20 years of ECSN anniversary is this year, 2004 to now. And we said, let's come up with a top 20 female and top 20 male athletes. We know we're not going to please everybody in the TV business. That is impossible. It's not virtually impossible. It is straight up impossible. So we wanted, in the essence of what BCSN is all about, where we spread the wealth. We're not going to not cover boys tennis and girls tennis, not cover bowling, not cover lacrosse, because it's not football. We're going to cover everything. We're going to try to showcase as many sports and schools, and I should say primarily sports. Mm-hmm. We wanted to showcase as many sports as possible. And I think we achieved it. Yes, you're going to take criticism. Anytime anybody comes out with a list, whether it's BCSN, ESPN, Fox Sports, you name it, big network, whatever the case may be, you come out with a network, a list of anything, and someone's going to gripe. And it could be justifiable. We did not put out this list to spurn anyone or to generate any publicity, positive or negative. We put out a list that we felt was representative of the best athletes that we have seen during the BCSN era. We made it the top athletes, not the top high school athletes, or who had the best four-year college career, or who went pro. We could have gone Lorenzo. I think we've had in the BCSN era, off the top of my head, I think it was 16 or 17 NFL players. Someone who's been on an NFL roster, practice squad, or on the roster, or Pro Bowl player, whatever the case may be. So we didn't want to say, okay, of the 20, here's 17 NFL players, and then let's fill in the rest. Yeah. So we wanted to kind of, okay, let's do the best of those NFL players, the best of the NBA, WNBA, who has reached MLB, who has reached MLS, NWSL, and who's won state championships, who played tennis, won a state championship, and then went to Purdue or Georgia or competed at the college level and performed well at the college level. Who went to BG and UT and left with all-time home run leader at the time, RBI leader at the time kind of thing. Yeah. So we wanted to spread the wealth. You know, Deshaun Kaiser has been one that was not on the list. Mm-hmm. We're aware.
it's almost like people say, and like, oh yeah, we forgot about that guy.
Yeah. So Jaslyn Davis from Bowser had a really great year, great career at Bowser. She had some injuries. Didn't necessarily, I think it's safe to say the following, that based on what she was able to do and how she was recruited from high school to college, did she live up to what she could have prospectively done in college? Probably no, and probably because of injuries, but that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there are people who you could make an argument for, but no one, in my opinion, has made a statement that we were, that I would admit that we're straight up wrong and we had the wrong person kind of thing. And the other thing, Lorenzo, I'll leave you with this in regards to this topic is, okay, you want so-and-so on the list. That's great. who do you want to take off the list? Yeah. Because a list is a list. It's not just, okay, we'll just extend the list. No, like you gotta, to get to a list, you gotta say how many are gonna be on the list. And then if you put one on, it's like the NCAA tournament bubble teams. Okay, you want that bubble team to go on, who are you mm-hmm. taking off kind of thing.
Yeah. Who was the one person that you really wanted on the list that didn't make the list?
Well, I wouldn't say I really wanted it because that
or I
would
guess
be,
yeah okay yeah
because that would be opinion based and what correct. We did, so this wasn't just me making up a list mm-hmm. it was a concerted effort, and that's the thing that I've learned again, you can't please everybody, but I do take my job seriously in any project that I'm doing. So I didn't just slap this together. Nothing I do is slap together, get mm-hmm. it done quick. Nothing is. Especially this. This is a huge project for the network. We're doing in October, we're going to do a celebration where we invite all of those people and their family members to a banquet of sorts.
Oh, nice.
So this is a big deal for the not only BCSN, for Buckeye Broadband, Block Communications across the board. So I took it seriously. We had a 10-member committee of people who have been here since the inception of BCSN, people who are well researched and read and prepped on all the different athletes who have come through the ranks during the time that I've been here since 2016. I've read every single Toledo Blade article, a local Toledo Blade article, every single day, 365 days a year, without missing one time. And all that knowledge goes into the brain and then comes out in projects like this.
Yeah.
So we collaborate on everything. We had a long list of more than 100 athletes, men and women, boys and girls. And then we had to narrow that list down and narrow it down again. And then we had to put it to a vote and then see what comes out of that. So yeah. the top 10 of the 20 and the 20. So 20 of the 40 were pretty easy. Like Zaya Cook.
Yeah.
She's going to be on it. So simplified version on the girls' side.
Yep.
So we then spots, 15 through 23. You can make the argument that 21, 22, and 3 are just as good as 18, 19, 20. I get mm-hmm. that. But like the vote was the vote. I didn't maneuver anything or finagle any votes. There's no hanging chads anywhere. So we simply took the votes, counted up the votes, tabulated them, and here's the list. When we do 25 years of BCSN, maybe some of those that were disputed now may find their way in. We'll find out. But I think that recognizing athletes for supreme accomplishments, some of those 3 of the 40 are current high schoolers, Mara Scott, Savannah Isaac, and Marcus Blaze. The reason why is because they were national champions in their particular sport, or very deserving state champions in multiple events and going to arguably one of the top 3 to 5 sprint schools in the country in Southern California, for Mara Scott from Springfield. And Marcus Blaze was not only a national champ, he was a world champion, yes, U17, and competed in Turkey. So yes, the length of time, a sample size for Marcus Blaze, for example, is smaller than someone who is now 30 years old and played X amount of years in the NFL or a professional rank. I get it. But at the same time, part of that criteria was kind of spreading the wealth across a multitude of sports, so we don't just put all these favorites into, oh, here's all the football players.
Yeah, I would imagine it is easier to just be like, yeah, here's all these players, let's make a list. All right, that's football, because that's the best sport, and or that's the seemingly the most popular sport and the best sport or whatever. But breaking it down, there was a post I saw, and I don't know where it's at now. I was looking for it, but it was cool to see you guys, how BCSN broke it down to like sport, league, school, like all those things, because then it did show like, yeah, we're making an effort to not stick to the main sports here. We want to showcase all these sports from someone who would have been if there was a list in the first year, someone would have made that list to, like you said, Marcus Blaze now. It's a wide range, and it's good to hear. And I had no doubt I'm sure some people did. I had no doubt how much effort went into this because it is a big deal. And you knew starting this process, you're like, people are going to complain about it.
Yeah, we knew it, and we're okay with that. We're about to come up with another list for the first team all BCSN for high school boys and girls basketball. And my joke internally / externally with coaches is, all right, we're posting it on Friday, February 2nd. So it's that time of the year where we piss off X amount of people. So, you know, not everybody is going to make the list. But yeah, that's just part of it. And usually, like, because of everything I just stated, where I put time and effort into it, and when someone's reaming you verbally or on social media, it kind of hits me for 12 to 24 hours, and then I decompress and just learn to let it go. But again, it sometimes is difficult. But yeah, what you're referencing is what I asked Mason Lowry, our play-by-play person, to put together, just kind of a cool breakdown, my thought on that. For anybody who watches or listens to your podcast, the NBC News political analyst, Steve Kornacki, he's the guy who wears khakis and a button-down shirt, and he does the touchscreen telestrator, the map guy, breaking down counties and percentages and who voted and who didn't vote, all that type of stuff. So he just had good information, and we just displayed it in a cool way. So I thought, hey, how can we bring that element to our top athletes of the BCSN Air Show? So I thought Mason would be a really good person to do that. He's quick on his feet and really well-spoken and eloquent, and can take something a little more complicated and simplify it. So I just said, hey, here's our list, 20 and 20. Can you break it down by sport and school, and then anything else that you come up creatively? And he kind of took the bull by the horns and did some prep and research and the schools, and Kate Octor was part of the Suburban Lakes League or some league that is now defunct. But that breakdown and those graphics that we used, I thought were cool and kind of illustrated the wide range of the athletes that we had.
When you do projects like this, either yourself or with your team or all of BCSN, because this isn't the first time there's been negative feedback on anything anybody does. Does it ever get easier? My podcast isn't popular enough to get negative reviews. You know, I'm not saying that right now, anybody listening, to give me a negative review, but does it ever get easier knowing that, okay, this is just life and this is what happens?
Yeah. You know, when you learn, the older they get, the more you learn, obviously, just like in anything. Mm-hmm. And so when you're younger, you know, admittedly, I thought I knew everything and I was just so naive and stupid and quite honestly, probably a jerk in some ways. And in my thought that I did know better when I did not, I didn't have enough life experience. I didn't have enough career experience. And I still don't to think I know everything, but it took me a little bit of time to understand that I don't know everything. But in regards to kind of negative reviews or backlash kind of thing, anytime you're coming up with a list or a first team type of thing where it's just five people of, you know, for basketball, five boys and five girls, or starting with 30, narrow it to 20, get down to 10, get down to five, or the one that we've been talking about for the top 20 male and female, you know going in that you're not going to please everybody, and it's going to be a difficult for those last few slots. But if the other thing that I do have to remind myself sometimes is, just because you see 4 to 5 to 10 people comment on something on social media, you got to realize that there's hundreds and or thousands of people who just accepted it and like, oh, yeah, that's cool. They didn't go to social media to do anything or say great job. You know, you hear the negative feedback as opposed to the kind of indifference, oh, that's cool, thanks for entertaining me for an hour on a show kind of thing, and giving me some historical perspective on area athletes. They're not gonna call you up or email you or put something on social media. They might like a list or something, or because they might know or have a family connection to an athlete. Hey, congratulations, way to go, blank. Mm-hmm. But I got to remind myself of that sometimes, and collaboratively as a group, I think we got to remind people that, remind ourselves that, hey, just because a few negative people send some negative vibes our way, know that we overall accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, and we did good for not only those 40 players who were on this list, but for their families and their schools, and just a casual viewer or a serious sports fan who really likes sports in high school and college and pro in this area.
Yeah, that's I am the supervisor at Glass City Metro Park on the east side, and you know we hear not a lot because people like our parks, but it is a lot of like, hey, this is wrong, or why did they do this, or this when I was there and this happened. And when we do get those emails where it says I took my daughter there and she had an awesome time, this is a great place or whatever, you know, and then that, you know, it's nice to hear those because you get way more
Absolutely.
negative stuff. So it is cool to see those. And I do, whenever Metro Parks makes a post about like Glass City or the skating ribbon, I always look at the comments because I always want to see what people are saying about the park that I run. And it is a cool thing. And it's never like personal shots, but I don't take it like that. But it is cool to see when people enjoy things.
Yeah, I think it is important for one, both those to recognize when you do get the good feedback, and that always, in some ways, depending on the importance of a story you did or whatever project you saw or did, it does, like, it makes you feel good. It kind of gives you a little boost and a jolt that you did something right, that they showed their appreciation for it. And then, yeah, I do think it's to a certain degree important to kind of read some of the comments just to know how certain things land. And then for future projects, where I stand on firm foundation of what our list was, but maybe in the past or potentially in the future, where you admittedly make a mistake, you can maybe prevent that future mistake by reading some of the comments to make note, jot down on a document or some notepad for future stuff that, hey, let's make sure when we're doing this, let's take into consideration A, B, and C because of a comment that you read. So that does helpful does help. I think that is a benefit, I guess you could say, of social media.
Yeah, you got to learn to be able to do that. Not everyone can do that. One cool thing that you do also is with one of my favorite people in the world. I played for him. I coach with him. Coach Kriegel. You do the tailgate show and then the podcast and stuff. I would never thought in a million years that he would do anything like that. And he's and it's really cool that you guys do a cool show. And the high school kids love it, you know, when you get to look like your ESPN out there, and the kids really enjoy that kind of stuff. But how is it working with Coach Kriegel?
Yeah, it's great. He's been a fantastic addition. I keep a running tab of coaches who come and go, whether they're going from one school to another year to year, or resigning or retiring or temporarily retiring or stepping away for a little bit. I literally kept a little white sheet of paper for every single year from 2016 to now. And now in my current position, I utilize that for any potential on-air talents that we may need and want to add to our roster, whether that is someone for the tailgate show or for game broadcast, studio segments, Game Day Nation, the in-studio 7 to 10:30 show for high school football. So we're always trying to make BCSN bigger and better and getting high quality talent. And Kriegel was definitely one of them. When he stepped down, I reached out to see if he would have an interest because of the experience that I had when I did interview him just for preseason team previews or post-game interviews or feature stories or game of the week sound. He always was thoughtful, always gave you a solid answer, didn't blow smoke, just gave you an informed opinion and a good answer. So not only that, but he also played high school football for Central Catholic in the area, played at BGSU in the area, well connected to the area through coaching networks, whether similar assistant or head coaches in the area, or he just coached probably thousands of kids over the course of his career, not only at Perrysburg, but elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So he kind of checks so many of those boxes where, okay, he's going to be an informed person. He's entertaining, likes to have fun, brings that to the set. So yeah, he's been a home run. He's been great. We've gone 3 years now with him. He's interested in coming back for year four. We'll have to replace Pat Cachardo.
Yeah.
So some of your listeners and viewers, he's accepted the offensive coordinator position, focusing on the passing game at Whitmer, his alma mater. So Pat will not be on our tailgate show next year. He says it's a year-to-year type of deal. So we'll kind of take that as it is. But Pat was great too and had great insight, lots of fun. He led our game picks. He was the first place finisher in that. So we're going to have to find someone else to replace him. We're as of, you know, January 23rd, we're working towards that. That's another project that we'll be working on.
Was there any thought with Coach Kriegel to do, like, to call games? Was that something he was ever interested in, or was that something for you guys that he, that you might want to do for with him?
So kind of varying degrees, in the sense that for tailgate, it's kind of obviously a smaller amount of time on TV.
Yeah.
30 minutes. You kind of get to do a variety of games every single week as far as getting some tidbits and information. You know, we usually try to focus on, I'd say, 4 to 5 games. And if we're doing a segment or a little story package that we would have within that show, we'd have a little more information about that team's opponent that night or that team as well. And then for a game broadcast, you're obviously focusing on two specific teams for a single week. So definitely different preparation leading into that Friday night content. But at the initial time, we were looking for someone for the tailgate show. So that was the primary focus when we reached out to Kriegel. And then he has been open to doing Game Day Nation. There's been times when he's done double duty. He would do Game Day tailgate. He would fill in for one of our Mike Robinson or Mike Jewell when they were unable to be there on a Friday night. So he would do the tailgate show from 6:30 to 7, hop in the car, and then hop on the set for Game Day Nation all the way through 10:30's overtime. So that's a bear as far as the responsibilities. And he said sometimes he had to get some coffee at, you know, 9:30 or 10 o'clock to get through the night. But that's a long-winded way of saying, you know, we've primarily focused him to be on the tailgate. He's happy doing tailgate. And then as of right now, there's no talks for him to do a game broadcast, just because we have a level team doing the play-by-play, color analysis, and sideline reporter for the game of the week, which is usually where we are, or not even usually, always where we are for the tailgate show. So we kind of have that in place. And then the logistics saying, okay, well, you can go do this other game. Well, you can't do that because you're at the game of the week site. If you go to another game, you know, at 7 o'clock, you would have to drive to another game, and that game's already started. Mm-hmm. So if you're a tailgate analyst, you're kind of just a tailgate analyst on that specified Friday night.
You know, his Coach Kriegel talking about drinking a cup of coffee to get through the night is a far cry from when sometimes he said he would leave a Friday night football game after a win or a loss and eat a large Little Caesars pizza on the way home. So,
yeah. So he, when he does games at Central Catholic, when we do a tailgate show at Central Catholic, where he grew up or went to high school, he goes to Inky's. Every time we're there, we'll make sure they don't get Inky's and then take it home to the compound.
That's what, when I was a seventh grade football coach, I would go to the varsity games. And every other year when we go down to BG, me and my friend, who's the principal at the junior, Perrysburg Junior High, Scott Bucher, we'd go to Campus Poly Ice and get stuffed breadsticks there. Yeah.
Yep. There so you go.
There's, I'm sure for you guys, there's always these things, certain places you look forward to going because of food or the atmosphere or whatever. And speaking of that, do you have a favorite high school you like to go to? Or do you think it'll get you in trouble? And you can say it's Perrysburg.
I was just going to say, we just pissed off so many people with our top 20 list, Lorenzo. I'm not going to piss off a whole school. No.
Well, you can say it's Perrysburg after we get off the air, and that's fine.
So I'll put it this way. The best places are where we have the most fans and students and signs. We love signs. So if people make their signs and they have a good crowd and they're dressed up and their themes, I'm a sucker for the students.
Oh yeah,
student section themes. I love. I don't care if you know we see neon every year. We see toga every year. I don't care. Like it's still great every single year. It's still awesome. So those are the best places that I like. My most favorite are where we have the most fans and students ready to have a good time yelling and screaming.
My buddies came back this fall. It was our 20th high school reunion. And there was about, including myself, there's probably about 8 of us on the sideline. Obviously, I was coaching, but I got them on the sideline. And I told them, I prepared them. I go, guys, it's so different now. And it is so amazing what is at Perrysburg amongst other schools. Like to me, I was never in the experience, a student experience in the stands because I was playing.
Yeah.
But it seems like everywhere you go now, it's just so much better. And I don't know, I can't explain it, but I was trying to tell them like, you're not going to believe it, guys.
I think the communication element of, you know, if you're a part of the student section, whether you have a good student section leader, or in some cases, I'm aware that there's a faculty member who helps out, directs, oversees a student section. So help providing some guidance. And then whether that's, you know, public address announcements within the school in the morning or afternoon, it seems like there are some well-run student organizations and student sections that, you know, they show up and show out. They're there. You know, we're there for our pregame show at 6:30 to 7. So our talent calls at 5:30, and there are students that are either waiting to get in the gate or they're already in their student section ready to go because they want the front row. And they got their signs and faces painted and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, in many cases, it is well orchestrated. And I will say this, you don't have to have a big student body to have a fantastic student section. Yes, does it look, I guess, more cool when you have 200 or 400 or 600 kids packed into a small space? Yeah. But at the same time, I've seen great student sections who are 12 to 20 to 30 to 40 strong, but they're bringing it, they're excited, they're dressed up, and they're ready to be there.
Yeah, and that's, to me, like, even as a coach, like, I get a little bit of time because I'm an offensive coach. So when we're on defense, sometimes I just, like, look up at the stands and see all the people, away games, home games, look at the opposing team stands. And it's just cool to have wherever you go, not only our team, but the opposing teams, to have so much support, you know, because kids feed off that. Like, more than adults, kids feed off that. And that it's no wonder I'm sure there's some teams that are way better at home than on the road because of that reason. And it's to everyone.
100%. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you get that energy. I agree with you, probably with the students and the players feeding off it more. But I think sometimes another thing that I try to remind myself, whether I'm in a big time event or taking something in, because so much of what I do is deadline driven. Like, you know, the show's coming on at 6:30. The highlight show's coming on at 11:15. Whether I like it or not, like, I got to do what I got to do individually and then collaboratively as a team to make sure I'm ready to go at that time. It's not, I don't have my highlights ready. Can we push it back? Like, it doesn't work like that in my my business. So you are focused and you are cognizant of the time. The one saying I tell people on Friday nights, I turn my brain on at 3 o'clock on Friday, and I don't turn my brain off until midnight. Literally for 9 straight hours, I'm thinking of something to make sure something is accomplished or some box is checked. But whether it's Friday night or it's a MAC championship game or a Big Ten championship game or Ohio State Michigan games, LPGA final round, Dana Open Marathon Classic year to year, whatever it's called, you know, cool events, sporting events, whether it's a person as a keynote speaker or whatever, you know, to kind of just literally pause, stop yourself and kind of do a 360 and see what it's like to kind of mentally capture a moment that you're in. And hey, it's a sports, what I do, and I do it for a reason. I thoroughly enjoy everything that sports does physically, emotionally, mentally. And sometimes you get caught in the hubbub of, I got to get this, got to get this, got to get highlights, got to get to the next game. I know there might be traffic on 475. And you got to just take a deep breath. And even if it's for 10 seconds or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, still do it. Because I think part of that allows you to make sure you want to go do it again the next week or the next day or the next season.
You know, I have more questions, but there's no beautiful way to end this podcast than that. I agree with you 100%. Just to take every once in a while, take in a moment and, you know, to understand where you're at in life and no matter what it is. And, you know, it's as simple as I run a park and sometimes I just go and stand and stare at the river because, like, man, this is a cool place to be. Right. And for people to understand that no matter where you're at, what you're doing, you know, it might suck at the time, but there's parts in your day where you can just hang out and just realize what's happening. And
yeah, just be there. And you know what, Lorenzo, just look and do with your eyeballs. You don't have to videotape something with your cell phone. You can just look at an experience and document it in your brain as opposed to documenting it on a hard drive. It's okay to not record everything.
100%. 100%. Well, Justin, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. I was excited when I talked to you in the fall and you said you'd come on, and I was equally excited when we finally got the Zoom set up. So thanks again. I appreciate all the work you do. I know the high school, when you come to Perrysburg, the high school kids, you know, they get excited when you get to interview them and they see themselves on TV. I know I was that way, except my excitement was a quote in a newspaper that someone called me on my phone, and that was on my house phone.
You know what? That's good though. That's good that you remember that. Like, you see, that's why that's one of those things, Lorenzo, when I mentioned before, like when someone does come up and tap you and say, hey, thanks for doing this, or you do a good job kind of thing, because that stuff is remembered. When you were in high school, you're no longer in high school, and 20 years later, whatever the case may be, people remember that. So you're having a part of telling someone's story when they were 16, 17, 18 years old, or, you know, if they go on to bigger and better things later on in older age. But, you know, kind of what you got to remind yourself that what you do matters, because they're going to remember it because you're proof positive. And I've gotten those stories too. And I remember when you did this story. There's current NFL players. I sit there, we're watching, you know, NFL highlights or games. And like, I covered that kid when he was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It's back to my days in Virginia prior to coming to Toledo. But I love that. I love like minor league baseball because you can see them when they were not a major leaguer, and you could see the talent then. It's another aspect of my job that I like.
Well, it's maybe some point we can come back on, because we didn't even talk about your growing up and the things you did and all that kind of stuff, which I find very interesting too. So we'll set aside some other point and come back on. But thanks again for coming on the podcast. It was great talking to you.
Absolutely. Glad to do so, and welcome me back. I'd love to come on.
Thanks again to Justin Feldkamp for coming on the podcast. Great interview. I didn't expect that it was going to be horrible. This was just for a living, and he was awesome. I really appreciate him coming on. It was his explanation of the top 20 list was really good, and I hope people understand like what they did and how they did it. And, you know, let me know what you think in the comments or in email. You know, reach out to nerdballpodcast@gmail.com. But he was wonderful. I'm excited to see what happens this fall. We talked about all about BSSN and high school football, Coach Kriegel, what he does there, one of my mentors there. So it was wonderful. Thanks again, Justin Feldkamp. Catch him out there doing all kinds of sports stuff on BCSN. I don't need to promote him. They are way bigger than me, but there it is. Whatever. it was awesome. So again, thank you to all of you for always liking and sharing and downloading this podcast. Check out the YouTube page. Just search the Nerdball Podcast on YouTube. Maybe there's a TikTok out there. Maybe there's not. I don't know. I mean, there's TikToks out there, but of the new ones, who knows at this point? I am recording this. This is the past now that you are listening to this. So who knows what I did in a week? Maybe I did one. Maybe I didn't. surprise. So thanks as always to everyone out there. This is great. It's so much fun doing this, and interviews like this just like really instills in me like, yeah, I need to keep doing this. It's fun. I think I'm pretty good at it, you know, and it's exciting to you know, meet new people. And yeah, so thanks as always to Real JP Monte Media, Cuttlefish Graphics, Perrysburg Junior High STEM Lab, and Big Daddy Graphics for always helping out the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.